Well, welcome this morning. It's exciting to see all of you back. I am sure that we are still in our up and down times in churches these days. We've had, as Ralph said, we've had a lot of people contact us this week. So we're going to stop right now and we're going to pray again for all those who are missing. If you look around, you know our crowd is down this morning, and it's because there's just a lot of stuff going on. And so, you know, we do face an enemy. And you know what? He is defeated. He is defeated. Let's pray. Father, I thank you right now that everyone who is in here right in this building and those who are online and those who can't be online this morning, I thank you, Father God, that you are touching every circumstance, every situation, every need is being met in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, I want to remind you that this coming Wednesday we have First Wednesday. We have that the first Wednesday of the month. It's just one service on in the month. I'm going to encourage you to be here. We're going to have a night where we're going to have worship throughout the service. We're also going to have prophetic ministry, personal ministry, prayer ministry. And there will be also times of just seasons of prayer. And then Pastor Rachel will be sharing what's on her heart in that service this coming Wednesday. So we encourage you to be here Wednesday night at 7 o'clock. It's just an hour and 5 minute service. Parents, bring your kids. It's a family service, and we promise to have you home in time to put them to bed. And so we encourage you to be here for that service. I'm going to give you a very brief review of my sermon last Sunday, because we have water baptism after the service, and I have a lot to say in a short period of time. Orison defined is a prayer or prayer. I'm going to add one. Prayerfulness, and we're going to land on that later in the service. But last Sunday, immediately after the service, I was deeply burdened with something that I said in the sermon. And before I even got out of the building, my thoughts were completely consumed with my burden. On the way to the restaurant, the Holy Spirit spoke to me. He said that because of the breakthroughs that had happened Sunday morning, he said, God wants you to remove from the table the sermon that you have prepared for Sunday. God wants you to share the deep burden on your heart. As soon as he said that, I saw the table that's in front of you right now exactly as it is at this moment. And by 9 o'clock Sunday night, I had the draft down on paper of the deep burden on my heart. By noon on Monday, God had confirmed it. He didn't have to do that, but he did, to make his point that he wants me to share my burden. I still have that deep burden, and it's consumed my thoughts all week. This morning when I got up, through worship, even greeting you as you walk through the door, I have a very deep burden for every person in this room right now, and for every person who's watching me online. And today there's many more that are watching online that would be here. But my burden is deep for this one thing: that everyone establish a consistent, I'm going to say this, a disciplined, consistent devotional life. This table represents not what's going on in my devotional life right now, but it represents the many seasons of my devotional life. My devotional life has four elements. It has worship, the echo, so I can listen to whatever I want to listen to, mostly spontaneous worship. Bibles, Bible study, Bible reading. I read through the Bible once every year. Right now, I'm on a track to read through the Bible twice in a year. Several different translations. Devotional time. Here's just some of the devotional books. This represents my cell phone, that I have many devotionals on my cell phone. And then lastly, journals. Some of these are new, some of these are old. This is just a fraction of all the things that I have. But having a consistent devotional life is a deep burden that I have right now for the body of Christ. That it is a must that we establish a consistent, very consistent devotional life. I also have my coffee cup. How many of you need your coffee in the morning? My coffee cup says all in. I'm all in when it comes to my devotional life. At the heart of a devotional life is prayer. Whether you are walking through your neighborhood or in different parts of your community, using the Lord's Prayer as your outline, or you're sitting down in a coffee shop having your favorite brew that morning with your Bible and devotional open. Every person in this room and watching me online needs places where you receive nourishment from God every day of your life. Places that you have set aside to receive nourishment from God every day of your life. Let's go back about 34 years ago when I realized that I needed to be more serious about my devotional life. My devotional life started at 5 a.m. in the morning, sitting on the edge of the bathtub. And no, not sitting on the edge of the bathtub with my feet on the carpet going towards the bathroom door, inside the bathtub, facing the intimidators, the faucet heads. And I learned, do not close your eyes to pray while you're going through the Lord's Prayer, because I almost had an encounter with them. I kid you not, that's what I would do. Because I wanted to develop a devotional life. And I had been a person who had just slept up until I had to get ready and go to work, and devotion just really didn't kind of happen. It just, you know, I would do stuff here and there. And all of a sudden I realized, and I'm going to talk about that in a minute, when that happened, that I realized that I needed to commit myself to a consistent life, a devotional life. So I kid you not, that's what I did. But it didn't work out real well because Rochelle's on the other side of the bathroom door and she's a light sleeper, so that was keeping her up. So I thought, well, I'll move to the living room. That wasn't good because I kept falling asleep on the sofa. So I kid you not again, I did something unusual. I set a lawn chair on the back porch, turned on the porch light. This is wintertime. I'm not kidding. I'm not telling you some big story to get your attention. I'm telling you the truth. And I would sit out on the back porch with my Bible in shorts and a t-shirt. So I'd stay awake. Because I was serious about developing a devotional life. Now, I would stay out there until I just couldn't stand it anymore. Then I'd come sit at the kitchen table. By the time I'd thawed out, I'd gotten through my devotional time. And then I'd go to work. Then I heard there was a bunch of people, a bunch of crazy people, going to church at 5 a.m. in the morning praying together. I thought, well, that'd be good. I'll go down there to the church because that'll help me because I won't fall asleep. I'm not going to fall asleep in front of a bunch of people. But I figured it might be 4 or 5. That'd be enough to keep me awake. I walk in, and man, there's like 35 people at 5 a.m. in the morning praying. I'm like, this is great. I'll get it established and I won't fall asleep. Until I saw this lady laying out down in the altar, completely out like this. I mean, flat out, had her Bible, had her devotional, had a notepad with a pen on it. And I mean, it's like she is meeting God. So I gather up my stuff. I'm not going to do it where all of you can see me. So I go to the back of the church, crawl down between two pews in the very back of the church, sprawl out underneath the pews, and I go, this is great, man. I'm going to meet God right here. Until I heard this large thud. And it was me waking up, my head hitting the bottom of the pew. True story. I crawled out, looked up, and everybody's looking at me grinning. So I had to find another way to do it. That wasn't going to work either. Because I thought, man, I'll get there. They're getting there at 5. I'll get there at 5:30, and then I'll leave at 6 to get to work. I share those stories because God wrecked me one day. And when I say God wrecked me, I mean God broke me in a good way. And he got my attention. And I knew that I had to establish a consistent rhythm and routine to my devotional life. I share those stories to tell you, you need to do whatever's necessary. I am burdened with the reality that people are not doing what's necessary to get nourishment from God the Father that you are in desperate need of having, and I am in desperate need of having. We are in desperate need of having every day. This morning, I'm going to unpack what I call three prayer life points. Now, let me back up to the moment of when God wrecked me in a good way. He broke me in a good way. I was reading in the book of Daniel, and I came to a particular chapter in the book where God began to break me by the time I reached, didn't even get through the chapter of this particular book. Now, before we look at the verse of Scripture that wrecked me, let me give you the background of what we're about to look at. I have gone to the book of Daniel, and I'm studying the book of Daniel. I am now at chapter 6. A lot has already happened by the time you get to chapter 6. Daniel and God's kids are in captivity. God's already done some amazing things. Daniel has risen to some prominence in this kingdom that they're captive in. And the king Darius makes a decision. He decides to break up the entire kingdom into 120 provinces. And he's going to put these high officials over each of these provinces. But then he does something unexpected. He sets two men over all of the high officials. And one of those men was Daniel. And the high officials were not happy because he was not one of them. You ever been the person, get a new job, and you're not one of them? He wasn't one of them. And so these cats decide that they're going to find some way to bring Daniel down. So they start searching, trying to find something that they could bring Daniel down with, something he was doing. Now you need to, if you're taking notes, you need to write this down. The only thing they found was his commitment to God. It's the only thing they found was his commitment to God. So they hatched this plan to get rid of Daniel. Knowing how prideful Darius was and how large his ego was, they came up with something that would feed that. So they come to King Darius and they say, King, Almighty King, and they just praise him, and they say all kinds of great words and pretty words and large words to him, and just building up his ego and his pride, just, you know, just pounding while they're doing this. And they said, King, for 30 days, make a decree that anyone who bows down and worships anybody or anything other than you will be thrown into the lion's den. Oh man, that stroked Darius's ego. And he said, this is a good thing. So he makes a decree that anybody that worships anybody but him, bows to anybody other than him, they're going to be thrown in the lion's den. In other words, you're going to die. You're dead. Now, to the verse that wrecked me, broke me in a good way, and put me on a path of establishing a devotional life. It's found in Daniel chapter 6, verse 10, as I go to the very first prayer life point, and it's this: stop the excuses. I can't be any more clear. I love you. I care about you, but I can't powder coat the truth. Stop the excuses. You know why? You need the nourishment from God. I need the nourishment from God. Let's take it to the next level. We need the nourishment from God. We all need it together. you know what would be so powerful is if we did this together as the church. We pick the story up, verse 10. When Daniel knew that the document had been signed, he went to his house where he had windows in his upper chamber open towards Jerusalem. Now, you need to listen carefully to what's penned here in Scripture. He got down on his knees three times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God. Here comes some key language. And he had, as he had done previously. Now, let's look at this very clearly. Daniel knew to bow down to God was going to cost him his life. Daniel could have said, you know what, today I think I'll take a break. Matter of fact, I think I'll go on vacation. At least I'm going to close the windows. And he could have excused himself out of what? Getting nourishment from God the Father, his keeper. But he didn't. He knew he could die. He knew he could be thrown into the lion's den, but he didn't. But this key language here at the end of the verse, as he had done previously, screaming to us that he had a consistent rhythm and routine to his devotional life, and he was what? Committed. That wrecked me. I read that and I said, I'm not about to die for this. My life will not be taken if I do this. It's just going to cost me things, other things I would like to do, like sleep. Or maybe a half a dozen other things that we come up with on why we can't do it. And God broke me in that moment and said, it's time to be a Daniel. That's what he said to me. It's time to be a Daniel. Daniel got on his knees three times a day. Not only that, when I read that his windows were open, it meant to me that before God, he was saying, here I am. Feed me. Show me what you want me to do. And we see in Daniel's life that beforehand, God had already done miracles for Daniel and through Daniel. And after this, God does another miracle, and the lions do not kill Daniel. Where was his trust in his Father? And your trust grows based on the time you spend in your devotional life. In your devotional life. One of my favorite quotes on prayer is by Charles Spurgeon when he says this, True prayer is neither a mere mental exercise nor a vocal performance. It is far deeper than that. It is a spiritual transaction with the Creator of heaven and earth. He uses the word transaction. Transaction means a transfer of goods and services. Now let me explain to you my definition of this transaction that Spurgeon is talking about in point number two. Point number two is be consistent. Prayer life, point number two, is be consistent. And here's why. Because a consistent devotional prayer life, very simply, is this. It's how we are going to see heaven invade earth. A consistent devotional prayer life is how we're going to see heaven invade earth. That's when we're going to see the transfer of the goods. Is in a consistent prayer life. We have to move from a crisis prayer life to a daily prayer life. only praying when I have needs or something's going on, where I am receiving nourishment from God on a daily basis. Because it's only in that commitment will I see heaven invade earth. It's only then where I see the transfer of goods. It's also where I will see the transfer of power invading my everyday circumstances. Where I will see the power and the grace of God invading my circumstances. Over and over again, I have found this to be true. Only through a committed devotional life do you ever see lasting change. Lasting change. It's through a committed devotional life. Lasting change. Some of us are just satisfied with change for a little bit. I want lasting change. I want it to last. And it's only through a consistent devotional life. Prayerfulness. I said we would land on that during this message. Prayerfulness from the Dictionary of Bible Themes is this: an attitude by which a constant relationship between God and believers is developed. A constant relationship. When you think constant, do you think daily? I do. A constant relationship is daily. A constant relationship is daily. Between God and believers is developed. How? Consistency. Your relationship with Him is built through consistency. I want to share this with you. Holy Spirit's bringing me back to it. I was going to bypass it. I believe with all of my heart that prayer, communication with God, is absolutely essential for you to know God and to relate to God and to see God's ultimate power invade your everyday life. To invade your everyday life. When I was sitting on the edge of that bathtub looking at the intimidators, I knew my need. And I wanted to be fed daily. But guess what? It begins with a decision by me. And looking at that faucet, I would remind myself, Corey, you've got to get this established because I don't want to sit here on the edge of the bathtub forever. We must establish it. My heart is so burdened with the church because I see, I hear, and I know what's not happening. And I'm burdened for you and for everyone online. And when I'm burdened, count on it, I'm in intercession about this. A devotional life. Number three, coming out of the definition of the Dictionary of Bible Themes, a constant relationship between God and believers is developed. Number three, shut the door. You've got to shut the door. You got to shut the door. You got to shut the door. You got to shut the door. And I'm not just talking about shut the door to excuses. You got to shut the door and get alone with God. And develop a relationship with Him. Matthew 6, verse 5 says, when you pray, don't be like the hypocrites who love to pray publicly on street corners and in the synagogues where everyone can see them. I tell you the truth that it is all the reward they will ever get. But when you pray, go away by yourself. Shut the door behind you and pray to your Father in private. I only have one pinned truth this morning, and it's this. As Christians, our appreciation of and our practice of private prayer is absolutely vital. It's absolutely vital. We have to shift from relying on others to relying on God in a private relationship with Him, one-on-one. God may tell you to go get other people involved in this. He'll do that. But you need to know Him well enough to know who to go tell. Sometimes we just go tell. We haven't asked the Father, who should I get involved in this? Because He knows who will really pray and really stand with you. I'm going to share with you this morning the four places where I receive spiritual nourishment. Places you can have in your own life. The first is what I call prayer paths. That could be in your neighborhood. For me, it's a laid out walk that's 3 miles long through my neighborhood. Now, in this walk, I may have an agenda of things I'm going to pray for. I may even carry that with me. I may have put it in my notes on my phone. Or I may just be praying in the Spirit, letting the Spirit of God lead me what to pray. I may sometimes pray along the Lord's Prayer. I have my earbuds in. I'm listening to spontaneous worship. It doesn't matter if other people are walking by, driving their cars. I am in a private place, walking for 3 miles with God. Why 3 miles? I'm not telling you got to do 3 miles. I believe I need 3 miles to accomplish what I need to accomplish. Prayer paths. I have a 26.5-mile drive that I make when I want to do it by driving, and I do basically the same thing. I've got spontaneous worship going on most of the time. I may have an agenda that I've got popped up on my deal on my phone that I can see that I'm going to pray, or I'm just praying in the Spirit, waiting on the Holy Spirit to guide me into what does God want me to pray for. And somewhere in that drive, I'm praying for all of you. 26 miles, again, 26.5 miles is what it is. Am I telling you a magical number? No. I just found that that route gets me through everything I need to do in prayer and in my devotional life. Along that drive, I'm listening to devotionals because I can't read them. I'm listening to them. I don't have my Bible. I can't read the Bible right there. I'm probably listening to Scripture. Prayer paths. You can do this. Maybe your prayer path is just walking along the fence line in your backyard. Your dog's already made ruts all the way around it. You might as well walk in it too. He might join you. Prayer seats. This represents a prayer seat. So I started here. Prayer seats. These are places where you feel comfortable and relaxed. It could be in your favorite coffee shop with your earbuds in, with all your stuff laid out on a table. I know somebody who for 30 years went to McDonald's. Back then they didn't have earbuds. Remember the Walkmans? They were doing that, and they actually wrote 2 books that are fairly well known. All at McDonald's. Because when they went there, it was a place they felt relaxed. And they sought God. And they received their spiritual nourishment. It could be your front porch, back porch. It could be a park. It could be at the office. Do you have a prayer path? Okay, if you don't have a prayer path, do you have a prayer seats? Where you feel relaxed and comfortable, where you can receive nourishment from God. The third one is what I call protected places. One of our members has given me permission to show their protected place. They'll have that up there in just a moment. This is Angela Martin's protected place. It's no longer private now. This is under the stairwell in their house. They cleared it all out and made a protected place. Now, when I say a protected place, what am I talking about? You need protected places where you will not be interrupted. interrupted, or distracted. Now, may I touch the sacred cow? If you are allowing yourself, not others, you, they may be bothering you through your devices, but you're the one making the decision to go look at the message. You're the one making the decision to go surf the net. You're the one making the decision to see what that ding was. If your devices are distracting you, get them out of the room. Protected places where you're not distracted or interrupted. I love what Angela does. She sets her shoes outside the door of her protected place, and the whole family knows, do not bother me. And they honor that. You need to set standards for your protected place. Do you have protected places? Rochelle and I have protected places. I actually have three. Can't have one, I'll go to the other. Where I will not be distracted or interrupted so I can receive nourishment from God every day. And then the last one is familiar places. What are familiar places? Familiar places are where you've had special encounters with God. Places where you've just had a moment with God and received from Him in a very special way. For me, for years, it was where I got saved, underneath that mobile home. Long after the mobile home was gone, long after the land was sold, it was still an empty lot. True story, many times I would get up in the middle of the night, drive all the way to where that vacant lot was, pull up in the little road that was there, cars coming down the freeway, stand in the right about where I felt like that cinder block was, where I got saved, and I would just throw my hands up to God, and I would receive spiritual nourishment from Him in that place. At another place, which was in the front of my oval driveway, had some special encounters with God there, and I had two or three other places. One of them was church. Before I was on staff, I asked one time, can I come down early one morning? I just need to spend some time with God. He met me in a really special way, sitting there in that one side of the church. I just want to go and just sit with God. And so the person who opened and closed the church said, I'll come open for you. And I'll just turn the sconces on the side where you can just have some time. When was the last time you visited one of those special places? Familiar places. Why am I sharing all of this? My point is, you can do this. You can do this. You just got to decide. You can do this. And it all begins with number one. The other two don't even matter if we're not going to stop the excuses and make a decision that I need daily nourishment from God. My orison, my prayers, need to be going on a personal level of relationship with God so that I can receive the nourishment that I need. As Angela comes up, I'm going to share a verse of Scripture with you and then my final thoughts. There's a verse of Scripture that has only three words in it, and these three words declare so much. It's found in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 17. It says, never stop praying, period. I'm not going to mess with the holiness of the Scripture, but I want you to have an ear to hear what I'm going to say. Never stop meeting with God. Never allow the excuses to keep you from developing a relationship with the Father every day. Never, ever, ever stop praying and communicating with God. Because it's how you're going to know Him and relate to Him and see His power and His grace invade your circumstances. My final thought. We will never tune into God's frequency to hear and know His voice unless we establish a consistent rhythm and routine to our devotional life and stop the excuses. I have found in my walk that sometimes the biggest, largest, most intimidating giant we face is excuses. We build this wall between us and the Father through excuses. And after a while, it becomes a giant. And that giant intimidates us. That we've made so many excuses. How am I going to go to God when I probably won't be committed tomorrow. I'm committed today, but I probably won't come back for 2 weeks. So we just don't do anything. Except when we're in a crisis or I have a great need. Maybe your giant is taking the next step. Pressing through. Taking down your giant. Say the excuses are over. Maybe your giant today, beyond my message, is you're facing something physically. And you need a healing. Maybe it's financial. Maybe it's family related. A giant. But what I want to pull back to and focus on is it's time to take our authority over the giant of excuses. Anybody hearing me? And pull that thing down, because you and I both need, we all need. I know they tell us in preaching, don't ever say you, but I'm saying you and I and we for this reason. We need to get this on a personal level right now and get committed to a devotional life that matters. Because you need nourishment, I need nourishment, we need nourishment. And it's going to happen through a consistent devotional life. You don't have to do everything I do, but I'm committed. And it makes a difference. I can't even hardly imagine what life would be if I wasn't. Some things would have been way worse. I know that. It makes a difference. So as Angela comes up, Angela has a prophetic gift of prayer. She also has the gift of intercession. And she's been praying for all of us in this room and those online concerning pulling the giant down. So, whatever your giant is, it could be financial, physical, marriage, relational, family, maybe just pulling the giant down of excuses, I'm going to ask you to stand right where you're at. Whatever it is, have the boldness to stand up and say, this changes. Stand up and say, I'm going to boldly go after this giant in my family. I'm going to boldly go after this giant in my finances. I'm going to boldly go after this giant in my health or my family's health. But I'm going to bring it back to a personal level and say, I'm going to go after the giant of excuses and get committed.